I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm romantically challenged. My guest in this episode has faced pretty much all the challenges that life as a modern single woman could throw at you. The frustrations of online dating, struggling to meet genuine people online, long-distance love, fertility issues, becoming a stepmum. Yep, Tiffany Villaluz has experienced it all. In this chat, Tiffany shares the story of her emotional journey and how and why that inspired her to start her own dating site to help other singles meet their match. Tiffany also shares her tips for how to improve your dating profile, how to flirt online without coming across as cheesy or creepy, and most importantly, how to keep yourself safe while online dating. Here's Tiffany.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Villaluz, and I've just literally turned 50, like last month, and I still can't quite wrap my head around that. I'm sure I still act like I'm in my 30s. I'm married with one adorable 23-year-old stepson, and I also have two very demanding and spoilt Burmese cats, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love socializing and meeting new people, and I enjoy exercising, mountain bike riding, and my new hobby is knitting, and I took that up during lockdown, pleasantly surprised myself with what I actually was able to create. I'm the founder of the new dating website, Date My Friend, which we've built for Australians only, and boy, I've had my fair share of interesting online dating experiences prior to meeting my husband. My life motto would have to be, don't judge a book by its cover.
Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me. Now, I know we've had a little chat prior. Can you please share your cold sore story? Because it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a bit of an unusual one. So I had met this guy through RSVP quite some time ago, and our first date was down at Balmoral Food and Wine Festival. Our second date, though, I think I was a little bit run down and I got a cold sore. We were sitting on his couch and I obviously said, you can't kiss me because I've got a cold sore. So he said, hang on a minute, I've got a solution for that. And he went and got the Glad wrap, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what is he going to do? And he said, here you go, put this on your mouth and then I can kiss you. And I kind of looked at him and I thought, okay, so I put it on my mouth and he kissed me and it was amazing. And I just thought, this guy's incredible. So it was just one of those really random things. And I thought, wow, this is going well. This might be the one.
I have never heard of that before. It's so funny. So was it a peck or was it a full open mouth pash?
It was kind of somewhere in between. It definitely wasn't a peck, but I can't recall there was any tongue. There wouldn't have been any point.
Poking a hole through the Glad wrap, I mean, maybe that works.
Yeah, maybe. I just had to make sure I kept on breathing.
I mean, could you feel anything?
Well, at the time, I guess it kind of felt electric because it was this new guy. I was on my second date and I was just stoked that he wanted to kiss me because I had a cold sore. I mean, who does that?
That he wanted to kiss you that badly that he found a solution. But can I just say, like, I feel your pain. Anyone who has ever had a cold sore, I mean, it is one of life's great dilemmas. What do you do when you've got a date lined up and you get a cold sore? Like, do you cancel it? Do you try and cover it up with makeup and hope he won't notice?
I could not believe it when that started to come up because, you know, you feel a little tingle and you go, uh-oh, that's coming. And sure enough, yes, I was a bit stressed, to say the least.
Oh, what a funny chat. I love it. So you met your husband when you were 37. I know you said it kind of all came down to having an epiphany in a movie theater.
Yeah, so I had 7 years pretty much of being single. I was the passion dash queen. So I hadn't had a lot of luck in that stake. And that movie came out, He's Just Not Into You, with Drew Barrymore, and I went to watch it with a few girlfriends. And I was sitting there just thinking, you know what, this is a light bulb moment because it focused on, look, if somebody's not into you, it is obvious. If you don't get the call within the next 24 hours or 48 hours and they sort of go quiet on you, it just means they're not into you. So just move on.
And when you met your husband, that was it. No games, no confusion. You knew straight up he was into you.
Absolutely. So I used to travel down to Melbourne for work, and he lived in Melbourne and I was in Sydney, and we started communicating via text message, BlackBerry, email, all that type of thing, and he asked me out on a date. Went out on the date and we had a lovely dinner. Then we went to a jazz bar and he looked at me and he said, I want to do something that I've been thinking about all night. And he just, you know, laid the kiss on me, which was lovely. And we were both in the office at 8 o'clock the next morning, both a little bit hungover. And I thought, okay, how is this guy going to respond to me? Am I going to get the cold shoulder? And I went up to his desk and I stood near him and he touched my leg and he said, how are you feeling? And I went, like, crap, how are you feeling? And he said, I've had no sleep. When do you leave? When can we catch up again? So it was kind of like at that moment that I thought, this guy's into me.
How long did you have the long distance relationship for?
It was a good 12 months before we made the decision for me to move to Melbourne. It was never going to be him moving to Sydney because he had a son. He had a child that was 10 years old at the time. So I packed my bags and off I went.
It's such a big decision and it's one that really strikes a chord with me because I've had a couple of serious boyfriends who lived in Melbourne and I live in Sydney, and it was in the back of my mind that maybe one day I'd have to do the move, and I could never see myself doing that. Was that a tough decision for you at all? Or
because I've been single for so long, I relied on my friends so much and they were such a great network for me, and here I was moving to somewhere where I knew a couple of people but not a lot, and I was a little bit nervous about it, but at the same time I was excited because it changed my life up. Yes, ultimately I felt like I had such a good network of friends in Sydney that I didn't need any more friends, and I thought that the relationship that we had built over the last 12 months was enough for me. I knew that my friends were only a plane ride away.
So you moved to Melbourne, it's all smooth sailing, but then I know you broke up for a little while because he wasn't too keen on doing IVF. This is such a big topic to discuss. Are you okay to discuss it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm an open book and I'm quite happy to talk about that type of thing because it was a really challenging part in our lives. So at the age of probably 39 and a half, we hadn't been careful with contraception and nothing was happening. Not that we'd had that conversation that, yes, we're ready to do it now, but he wanted more children and I wanted children. And I just sort of said, look, why don't we just go and get tested, because he's 3 years older than me, just to make sure that everything's okay. And we did that and we got the news that nobody wants. And the doctor said to us, your only option is IVF. For us to conceive children. So that was a real blow. And it was not long after that that we had a rather heated discussion where he's just said, I don't want an IVF baby. I don't want a baby that's created in a lab. I don't want a test tube baby. I can't get my head around it. So that sort of all came to a head just after I was 40. And I just said, right, I'm leaving. Because I knew if I didn't go then, I would have no chance of having my own family. So I up and left. Yeah, I went back to Sydney and I just went, no, I'm out of here. And it was really traumatic because I felt like I'd lost trust in him because I thought he was on the same journey as what I was.
Journey was the word I was thinking literally as you said that. What an incredible situation for you. You think you're on this journey with someone, you're heading in that road together, and then all of a sudden you literally hit a fork in the road and you go one direction and he goes another.
Exactly. It was really, really tough and not something I'd ever want to go through again. We had a lot of soul searching in the next 3 months, and you know, this is funny how the universe works, is he was out one night and he met the first IVF baby to ever be born in the world, and she was from Melbourne and she was 31 at the time, and he was just dumbfounded because he ended up, I don't know how it came up in the conversation, but he ended up saying, oh my God, I didn't want to do IVF because of the test tube thoughts that he had going through his head. And she said, well, I'm normal. I was created in a lab, but there's nothing wrong with me, and I'm a human being and I'm lucky to be here. And it totally changed his perception of what IVF was and what a test tube baby was, and so he came around.
So what an incredible sliding door moment. Imagine if he hadn't met her.
Absolutely. We would probably be in two very different existences. So, yeah, it is exactly that sliding door moment. you know, it was obviously meant to be, in the sense that we were to get back together and go down that path.
So then you eventually moved back to Melbourne. Did you actually try IVF then yourselves?
Yes. So we went through, we end up having three cycles and absolutely no luck. So we didn't even get embryos. So we didn't even get to that stage. So there was no point progressing any further, because if you can't even get an embryo, there's not even any point continuing on, because it's traumatic, as everybody will know that's been through it, and like you would know. So yeah, making that call and that final, I'll never forget that final drive back from the doctors where she said, "I'm sorry, you've got no viable eggs." I just had tears streaming down my face and I just couldn't look at him.
It's such an emotional process. I remember, I mean, I was trying it the old-fashioned way, and when you're trying to make a baby, it's this two-week cycle and it's so intense, Tiffany. You know, it's the waiting, and then it's peeing on a stick, and then it's ovulating, and then it's bonking like rabbits, and then you're waiting, and then you're hoping you're pregnant, and then your period arrives and it's just like this tidal wave of disappointment. And then you start the cycle again, you know, you get the courage up to be positive, and then your period comes again, and it's just this, it's hard to describe to people who haven't been through it.
Oh, absolutely. And I had the shock of why me as well. My sister had three children. My brother's since had three children. So I still think, why am I the one who couldn't have children? What is it about me that left me out of that whole equation? Yes, for us it was very traumatic. And then we just focused on other things and just thought, well, we're going to have a very nice life without children, and we just have to make sure that we get the most out of life.
So now you've got your new baby, your dating site, which we'll talk about shortly. But first, let's go back to your single days pre-marriage. The dating apps weren't around yet. I don't think there was Tinder or Bumble, but you did try online dating, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I think I was probably a first adopter of that, because I was so desperate to be in a relationship. And RSVP was the first one that I tried. What a roller coaster, particularly from an ego point of view. So I would put my photo on and I would just get an absolute barrage of these contacts coming through. And I would just think, wow, this is incredible. But it was that ego roller coaster, because you get all of that and then you start communicating with the ones that you want to communicate with, and you're lucky if you get anything back. And then you think, well, didn't you like me in the first place? You were the one who came to me. You know, you'd be lucky if you get 2% of dates out of everybody that contacts you. It's confusing, and you think, wow, this is odd.
I love that you've described it as an ego roller coaster. I've never heard that before, but that's brilliant. It really is. You get all these hits, you think, wow, look at me, I'm so fabulous and hot and everyone's interested, and then it goes nowhere and you think, well, what's wrong with me?
Absolutely. And it's confusion, and it's like, then you start to think, well, they obviously liked my photo, but they're not liking what I'm saying to them. And I thought, oh, well, I'm obviously not engaging him through that avenue. And then I thought, why? What am I doing wrong?
Did you ever find the answer to that question, why? What am I doing wrong?
No, I didn't. The only thing that I would potentially say is that there were so many people online. There was so much choice. It's competitive, and it still is. There's no doubt about it. So there's just so many fish in the sea, but they're just not willing to swim that far, because it is a smorgasbord of women out there.
It feels like there's not a lot of really genuine people out there online.
One of the guys that I started to be friendly with, rather, that was clearly obvious that we weren't going to go down to that emotional relationship stage, but he said, look, if I want to get sex, and this is back in the RSVP days, not the Tinder days, if I want to have sex three times a week, I just need to jump on RSVP and I can pick up girls like that. And aside from the fact with me going, oh my God, girls, what are you doing? You're putting out too quickly, which makes it hard for the ones of us that don't want to put it out so quickly. But I was just shocked that there was that sort of opportunity out there for guys to have that many dates a week and that many women that they could satisfy them with and then move on to the next one. So I did go through the stage of going, well, it's obviously not for me, because I'm not into that. I want a relationship. I don't want a one-night stand. I want somebody that's serious. And I found it really hard to find somebody that wanted the same thing that I did.
Online dating really came into our lives as this beacon of hope, a convenient way for us all to meet lots of singles. But I know in my group of friends, people and singles are becoming more and more disillusioned by online dating and disappointed with it. So what made you decide to create your own dating site?
I came across a friend, actually, who had just come back from the UK, and she had this lovely 6 foot tall, gorgeous looking husband. And I said, "Where did you meet?" And she said, "It was actually an online dating site in the UK where your friends do your descriptions for you." And she said, "I can't believe nobody's done it here." And at the time, I was doing a contract role. I knew that I wanted to have my own business, but I just didn't know what in at the time. And it all just sort of clicked. And I thought, you know what? This is something that I could do because of my background in recruitment, where I was matching people to jobs, and people had to have a resume, people have to have a profile, all that sort of stuff. I thought this could work. And I thought I wanted to do it differently. I wanted to do it so that I could attract more genuine people. And I wanted to make sure that people could come to our site and feel safe and secure, and that they weren't going to have their time wasted. And this whole concept around having a friend write your profile description for you, it's sort of like an online wingman or wingwoman. You don't have to do it yourself, so you don't have to try and find a way to make yourself stand out from the crowd compared to somebody else. So you're witty, you're you know, interesting, you're not egotistical because of what you write on your profile. So the fact that somebody endorses you online gives somebody that security and that confidence that somebody is actually worth getting to know, and they've got friends that rate them. And it's an eye-opener too, because sometimes you don't know what your friend's going to say, and you're pleasantly surprised that that's the way they feel about you.
How does it work exactly? Like, how do you get the friend involved to write the profile for you?
So there's two ways you can do it. So if you're the single that wants to join up, you nominate a friend. So you just put their first name and their email address, and the actual email just shoots off to that friend, and it says to the friend, Sammy would like your help. Can you help her with her online profile?" And then they just go in and they write their blurb, and that's it. Alternatively, if you've got a single friend that you want to sign up, you can do the same thing. So you just start off by writing their name and their email address again and write the blurb. And then the email goes off to the friend saying, "Sammy thinks you're too awesome not to be on this platform. Finish your profile and off you go." And obviously, if you've been signed up by a friend, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You do have to complete your profile in order for you to go live.
I think it's lovely to find out what your friends think about you. On the flip side, I am also a little scared about what my friends might say about me. If I don't like what they write, can I edit it or delete it or change it?
Absolutely. You can ask them to edit it slightly. So you can, once you get notification that they've written it and you go on, "We have already approved it," but then you just need to go into your profile and just send a little note to your friend saying, "Do you mind just changing this? Because I'm not so sure about that." You know, and this is the thing as well. Like, a lot of friends are honest, and the friend that I met that had met her firefighter husband online, his friend said, "Look, he's a bit lazy and he'll leave his socks and jocks around the floor, but he's a guy that you want to know and he's loyal to a fault and he would be a great husband." So she liked the fact that there was well, he's human. A lot of guys are lazy, so I would expect that. But she totally looked past that because everything else the friend said about him, she engaged with and she warmed to. And
I think a lot of us need to overlook the socks and jocks on the floor if we want any hope of a relationship with any man, really, don't we?
But we've also got, similar to what LinkedIn do, you can ask for recommendations, but we've said they're reviews. So you can ask as many friends as you want to write you a review. So again, that's building up confidence to somebody that's looking at your profile as to what an awesome person you are.
Can you get past people you've dated to
absolutely
write reviews?
Absolutely. If that's what you want to do and you're still in touch with them, absolutely. We've had some people where their mums have signed them up, they've signed their sons up, and it's hilarious. It's great. And we do get a lot of girls who have been signed up by their sisters, and we've had sisters sign up their brothers. So it's kind of cool when you see that as well, the sibling relationship.
On your side, I know that you say by having their friends write their profile for them, you know you're getting the real deal. But we all know online dating can be a breeding ground for lies and deception. So how can we trust the friends to be truthful?
Well, that's the thing. We can't. And there's only so much protection we can give everybody. And that's where I say everybody needs to go into online dating knowing what the trials and tribulations are, because it is tough out there and it is that roller coaster. So if you don't protect yourself, there's only so much that I can do to protect people that come onto our platform.
I think with online dating, you've hit the nail on the head there. You know, you can go in with best intentions and hope for the best, but there's no guarantees. You do have to be a little vulnerable, and unfortunately, some people can take advantage of that, but you've just got to kind of have your wits about you, really, haven't you?
You do, absolutely. And I think in this day and age, there's that much information out there about how to stay safe online. You really need to soak it up and do your research and make sure that you are operating within those realms of personal responsibility, so you're not putting yourself in situations where you could be taken advantage of.
Let's talk about safety and online dating, because I know this is a big issue for you in setting up your own dating site. And I love that we are talking about this more openly and more seriously, thanks largely to the Four Corners and Triple J investigations, which were great. What are you doing as a site to protect your users?
When people sign up, we collect a certain amount of information that identifies somebody straight away and enables us to pass on information if we have to. So with us, we have the email records, so we don't see the personal content, because we would never do that from a privacy point of view, but we can see that there is email contact between two people. And even if a single deletes their profile, we can still see that that profile is deleted. And we also do collect the IP address of somebody. So that in itself is going to deter people from joining us who are on there for the wrong reasons, because we ask for their email address, we collect their IP address, and we can identify these people if they were to have hurt somebody in any way. But I also approve every single profile that comes through. So, sometimes I feel like I'm playing God, which is probably not a good thing, but if they put something in there that is clearly giving me red flags as to what the intentions of this person is, I won't approve it and I won't have them on our site. I'm trying to be the gatekeeper so the quality of people are there. So I've never been after the quantity. I don't need to be running a site as big as Tinder or RSVP or whatever. I just want the quality there so that people are feeling safe and secure in a fun environment with genuine people that are on our platform.
Yeah, creating a safe singles community. Now, look, maybe we won't call you God, we won't call you gatekeeper, but you're playing Cupid. And I love that Cupid is taking this seriously.
Yeah, and I do want people to feel like they're in a community and they're all in the same boat. They're all trying to find that same connection with somebody. I don't want our community feeling like they're standing out on a hill alone in the middle of nowhere, where they've got nobody that's in the same boat as them, so to speak, or experiencing the same challenges as what they are online.
I know on your site you have a whole page dedicated to tips for keeping yourself safe online. Can you summarize some of the most important things you can do to keep yourself safe online? So when creating your profile, what are some tips for keeping yourself safe there?
Absolutely. So when you create your profile, don't give away any information that might help somebody identify you offline straight away. Don't give away your email address straight away. And we've obviously put something in place to try and make sure that that doesn't happen. Don't give anyone too much detail as to where you might work. We've had some people that put their full name on there. We only want their first name, because full name, then you just do the Google search and you can find somebody outside of your platform. So provide enough information to interest somebody, but don't provide the information that might help identify you offline. I mean, we give people the option to give their Instagram details so people can then go in and do that research. So you're not stalking, but you're doing research on somebody to see that they are genuine. You've just got to make sure no identifying information that could get somebody to find you offline.
Okay, what about tips for keeping safe when you're at that stage of connecting with someone? So maybe you've shared a few messages. It's really that tricky space of, when do I trust them enough to give them my phone number?
I would even suggest maybe not giving out your phone number straight away. And one thing that you can do, I mean, there's that many options to have a free email address. Why not set up a separate email address that's just your online dating email address? So you've got that as a side separate, just contact through that or contact through, we've got live chat on our platform, and you can continue to contact each other through that when you meet. And then when you meet, then you can give them the, if you want to give them their phone number then and there. I mean, yes, you can block people on your phone. People can use a phone number as well to identify you through other avenues that you may have put your phone number somewhere else when you've signed up to another site that's totally removed from online dating. So you've just got to be really aware of what information you've got out there. So
I am shocked at a couple of my girlfriends who have been messaging with a guy online, and then, you know, Saturday night she gets the late night message, come over, and she just jumps in an Uber and goes to this stranger's house. What are some tips to keep yourself safe when agreeing to meet in person?
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on that line with regards to how confident women are too quickly to go over to somebody's house. But when you're meeting somebody in person, and this is the thing that I'm always dumbfounded by, the information's out there, the advice is out there, and people still don't always take it. But meet in a public place, tell a friend where you're going and who you're meeting and where you met them, so you've got somebody that knows where you are. Little simple things like if you go to the bathroom, don't leave your handbag at the table that could have your ID in it. Try not to. I know it's really hard sometimes when you're nervous and you're on a first date not to drink too much, but as soon as you start to drink too much, your inhibitions start to fall away and you might make decisions that you wouldn't normally do. So maybe have that pact with yourself that when you go and meet somebody for the first time, just stick to two drinks or three drinks maximum. So you've got your wits about you. And in that scenario, Sammy, where you said your friend will just up and leave and go to somebody's house, if you want to do that, again, just make sure somebody knows where it is you're going and what time you went there and get them to ring you within half an hour of being there.
Yeah, but the problem, Tiffany, is they're not going to do that because they know in their heart they're kind of embarrassed that they're doing that in the first place.
Yeah.
You never hear about it from a girlfriend until after she's done it and she got away safely. What about also, you know, it's a really simple one, but we don't often think about it because you go on a date, you're in the moment, he turns up, there's a spark, he's hot, there's chemistry, conversation's flowing. I don't actually let a man ever go and buy me a drink at the bar, and I don't leave a drink if I go to the bathroom.
Absolutely, and spiking still goes on, and I know people who have personally been spiked and luckily they were able to get out of it or had friends around them that realised something had gone on, but it still happens, so absolutely. And yes, there's guys out there that are still genuine and they just want to buy you a drink. If they want to buy you one, you're at the bar with them when they're buying you that drink and you can see that you've been handed directly from the bartender.
What about tips for identifying scammers online? Because there's a lot of them out there and they really disguise themselves quite well at times, don't they?
They do, absolutely. When you are in contact with a scammer, they will try to get you off that platform straight away. They'll try to say, why don't we email directly, or why don't you go to my WhatsApp? They don't want you on that platform for very long. They're reluctant to meet up with you in person, so they might drag out how long it is before you actually meet up. They tell you a sad story about their family to try and get you emotionally involved. They'll tell you they're overseas. This is a really interesting one. They will start to profess their love to you within two emails or within two text messages or within two live chats. You kind of go, hang on, you don't even know me and you're already saying how engaged you are with me and how involved you are. That is one major red flag. A lot of the photos that get put up, you can look at that and go, that's not right, because it does look like it's a staged photo and it's very easy to do those reverse image searches. I know some of the other people that you've interviewed with your podcast have talked about those reverse image searches.
When you say, you know, those profile photos, it's obvious. I don't think it is, because the quality of profile photos online is so variable, from the horrific bathroom selfie under the chin to the professional looking shot. And a lot of guys are doing that now, Tiffany. They're engaging photographers to take their profile photos. So that reverse image searching, tell me how that works.
So Google have a platform where it's like images.google.com, and you can actually copy and paste images that have been put on somebody's profile, and then that will show up wherever those images have been used. I'm actually aligned to a program called scammers.com, and that's where everybody can actually put up photos of people that are scammers. So I get that notice once a week, and I go through all those photos to make sure that none of those photos are popping up on our site. So again, it's about being smart and doing your research and having those tools at your fingertips. You don't have to pay any money for that.
That's great. Yeah, while we're talking about dating profiles, the standard is overwhelmingly shocking, I think, for the most part, particularly with men. And I love you mentioned earlier, I love that you have this recruitment background. So you can actually help people to create better, more effective dating profiles. What horrifies you the most about the dating profiles that you see, Tiffany?
I'd have to say the lack of effort that's gone into them. It is competitive out there, and you've got to stand out from the crowd. And some people do one-word answers, or I've even had a profile description come through where somebody wrote it from themselves and they just went blah. And I just thought, how do they think they're going to get any interest with just putting blah on a description? And they don't put a photo, they don't put any information. So I sort of liken it to recruitment and to trying to find that perfect job. If you want to find that perfect job, you put the time and effort into your resume, you tweak it where you need to, and you put the detail that somebody is looking for. You need to treat your online dating profile in exactly the same manner. You are trying to attract somebody that you can connect with. So you need to give them the information, and you need to respect yourself and the other person online with the time that you're putting towards your online dating profile. Because if you don't, it's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah. And I love one tip that you've given me is that I hadn't thought of, keep updating it. Like go in every Monday and write a couple of things about what you were up to on the weekend, because they create lovely conversation starters.
Absolutely. So you might not be the one that feels confident in reaching out to somebody, but somebody else that's going to reach out to you, they need something to start a conversation with. And if they've seen that you went kayaking on Sydney Harbour over the weekend and you almost ran over a whale, that's going to be, wow, I can't believe you did that. How did you feel about that? Tell me more. The more information you do put and update, and also a little tip for a lot of people is if you're in and you're active, when people are doing searches on almost every platform, you will come up first because you are more active on your profile. So if you are updating with things that you've done on the weekend, or you may have, you know, started a new interest, update your profile. Don't let it go stale. Update your photos. So yes, keep that engagement from your point of view, so then somebody can find some point of interest that allows them to go, hey, loved what you got up to on the weekend, or hey, you know, that's an interest of mine as well, or hey, I just started that hobby too. Tell me about how you're finding it.
It's a kind of a cute little way to flirt as well, because flirting is a dying art, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we're forgetting how to flirt because, well, especially in person because we are behind a screen, but it's really important to be able to flirt through connections online too. So somebody, you get somebody's interest. So it's not easy for most people. I'm not going to say that it is, because that does mean that you have to have a certain amount of writing vocabulary that you're comfortable with. But, you know, just you initiating a conversation could be termed as flirting, complimenting somebody. So again, comes back to the profile. If you see a good photo, you could say, hey, I loved your photo. You're rocking that swimming costume, or you're rocking, you know, how you look on a surfboard, or, you know, you've got a great golf swing, or whatever it is. Like subtly complimenting people is a good way to flirt. But there are flirty questions you can ask without seeming too, you know, weird.
There's a fine line between just nice, friendly flirting and being cheesy or creepy.
Well, there is. And I guess if you put yourself in somebody else's position and you think, you write something, you go, oh, if I got that, I'd feel, that's really creepy. So, you know, do think about how somebody might react that's receiving that. But emojis is a great way to flirt as well. I think that sounds funny, but emojis really do help you sort of create a mood without you actually having to verbalize it. The flirting questions, you know, this might be after two or three text messages or live chats or emails. Just say, so just interested, do you prefer cuddling or kissing? Or where was your favorite place to be kissed? So it's not a harsh question. It's not too overly sexual or anything like that, but it's sort of suggesting to somebody that you're interested in what their whole mojo is around kissing. And so
do you prefer kissing, cuddling, or kissing through plastic when I have a cold sore?
Kissing through plastic.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. Jeez, we've covered a lot. Congratulations on your new site, datemyfriend.com.au. I love that it's Aussies only. I love that it's your baby and you take such pride in it and you are doing everything you can to create a safe community for singles, because we need that. I have no doubt you are going to help a lot of people find what they're looking for.
Well, that's what my goal is. And if I can just say that I've put two people together, then I will be a very happy woman. So I do appreciate you taking the time to speak to me too, Sammy. It's been a great, fun conversation.
You can find out more about Date My Friend online at datemyfriend.com.au. This episode was produced by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the awesome Robbie Wood. And you can find out more about this podcast, me, or my book at my website, sammylucas.com.